Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 195. My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Sleepy Mike Kaplan.
Sleepy Mike Kaplan. You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Kaplan America on Instagram. Also, this show, lostinamericapod.com. Subscribe to us. You can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, the iHeartRadio, if that still exists.
And you can watch us on YouTube. So you go and subscribe right now. Stop what you're doing.
If you're listening to us, stop listening and watch us on YouTube. If you're watching us, stop watching and listen to us on the iHeartRadio app.
Exactly. If you're a real fan, you're going to watch us in more than one platform, so you can help us out.
Do it at the same time, Cap. Sync it up like how people, when they watch Wizard of Oz.
Or like they say when you watch a football game, it's better to listen to it on the radio and turn the mute so you get the local announcers.
Play-by-play guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So do that.
Or like, you know, the Wizard of Oz with what they do, Pink Floyd album.
Yeah, we are the new. There's a lot of symbolism. Turner's been a master of editing. The symbol at minute 16. If you play it backwards, you hear Kaplan hates his kids.
Kaplan murdered the whack pack.
Kaplan murdered someone in the park last night.
We're admitting to crimes on this podcast.
Yes, exactly.
We've committed all over New York City. Multiple
pancakes
murders.
Peed on Raj Amelia. That's on the pod this week backwards. So yeah.
Kaplan, we have a lot of review. People are loving this new format we're doing. And I'm not just saying America, I'm saying the world.
The world, that's good. We want to reach the world. That's our platform. We don't want to just be a local pod. National pod.
On,
we want to be an international super pod.
International super pod is the new genre that we're working
on. Genre, yes.
In podcasting. People love it. They say we're doing great. They say we hate it. People hated our old format where we talk to people about their hometowns. They said that was the worst.
It's going to go down as the lost season. The people like that.
Season two of The Wire. People hate it.
I love that. I love Ziggy, but you know, some people don't like it.
Well, they didn't like what we were doing. We were talking to people about their hometowns, where they grew up, where they're from. I got to be honest with you. Those were great guests, but I was falling asleep during those episodes.
Yeah. You were sleepy Turner Sparks.
I was sleepy Turner Sparks. Yeah. You, for people watching on YouTube right now, you look like you're half awake. You got a Shalom Y'all t-shirt.
Well, I'm testing on the theme, which you're going to get to,
On our guest today is Muhammad Magdi Kaplan. Muhammad is a comedian from Egypt, originally from Egypt. He lives in Hong Kong. We're talking about the UAE deal with Israel, the peace deal in the Middle East. He's going to come in. Apparently Egypt has had peace with Israel.
You wouldn't even know that, right?
30-something years. I wouldn't know it. not talking to – no, you wouldn't know. You have no idea. So he's going to tell us all about that, how it might
relate. What to expect for peace, because I'm wearing the Shalom shirt today. If you're on YouTube, you see this. I'm feeling good about peace in the world, peace in the Middle East. So we'll see if he agrees with me.
What we want to know is maybe he can give us a peek into the future, what it might look like for the UAE,
exactly.
What it's looked like in the past for Egypt and Israel. Before we get to that, talking about this new pod format, we got a new review on iTunes. I want to read it. It's come from the author, Bill Dodson, right out of Seattle. He's a great author. You got to read his books, by the way. He says, guys, he's in Seattle. He says, guys, thanks for returning to the international coverage. American comedians who do currently or have traveled or lived abroad, and comedians from other countries, they're all great. This small city origin of American comedians was okay. But listen, guys, I've lived there. I've done that. I want to forget about it. I want to forget about all the places. But the international coverage makes me smile. It inspires me. He continues on. Kaplan, that's what we're talking about. He also has a great podcast you can go listen to. I'll find the name of that later, but it's I don't know, something.
Well, thank you, Bill, author Bill. And that's how you do it, guys. You can feel free to insult us in some way. If you can't just give us a full compliment review, we'll take a little backhanded compliment. So
I'll take some salt with my sugar.
Exactly. So say, as long as you give us 5 stars, you could say anything, you know.
The Disrupted Manager podcast. I wanted to give him a shout out. I've been listening to it. That's his podcast. Go check it out. Yeah. I want to give that a shot. But anyway, what point is, give us more reviews. Subscribe to us on iTunes, on Spotify, wherever it is. Review us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Tell your friends. If you're listening, this is a small podcast, but we're growing. We found our format. So share. If you like this episode, share it on your social media. Tell your friends. Subscribe to our YouTube page. Share that. Check it out. Okay.
Yeah, and even if you're not going to watch it on YouTube, subscribe. You never know. You might want to watch us one day. So.
Just subscribe.
If you're listening.
Now,
yeah.
Kaplan, let's get to Muhammad. Let's get to the show. What do you know before I bring him in? Should I start with what I know about the Middle East?
Know so much. There's going to be the whole episode, I'm sure, if you just start talking about what you know. But yeah, let's go for it. What do you got? What do you know?
Peace in the Middle East. Here's what I know. I know that it was a thing that people, like cool guys, used to say in high school.
Yes.
They used to say, hey, man.
Or something. Peace
in
the Middle East.
Because for a while, people say, hey, peace. You know, hey, peace. When you're leaving a conversation, peace. And then people one-upped it, and they would say, hey, man, peace in the Middle East.
Yes.
And then you go home for the day. You know, you're done with basketball practice. Hey, guys, peace in the Middle East. And then you're out, you know?
Yeah.
I knew that. I knew that was – peace in the Middle East was not as easy as just saying it.
Right.
Because let's go back. Hitler, you know, killed the Jews.
That's great. Great turn there. Let's go back.
Hitler
the flashback.
Hitler killed a few Jews.
Yes, he did kill the Jews.
Hitler killed the Jews. And so then everybody else says, hey guys, this ain't fair. Let's create Israel. And so they created Israel.
Okay, yes.
And then the Jews went to Israel. And then the people in the Arab world, they said, whoa, 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 that was our place.
Right.
And so then boom. Now we don't like Israel. Israel says, hey, guess what? We don't like you. And now now we have 70, 100 years, whatever it might be. Not 100 years yet. 80
1948
years.
Was when Israel was formed for those. Dude, I can't do the math, though, on how many years that is.
48 until today of tension is what we're talking about. Tension's happening, right? So now, just recently, the United Arab Emirates, today is the official first day. The United Arab Emirates and Israel have decided they have, is it a peace deal or is it they recognize each other exist?
The Abraham Accords. I saw Jared Kushner, who's always we got off to a great start. The spokesman you want when you're selling a new product. You want Jared Kushner out there in the face of it. So he's out there taking credit.
The son-in-law of Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, he flew on the first plane that flew from Israel to the Arab UAE ever. The first commercial flight was allowed. That was today. He flew on it, made a speech when he landed.
Now, one more thing before we bring in Muhammad.
Yeah.
The last piece to this puzzle is that it turns out, I don't know if anyone knew this, Israel has had peace with Egypt since 1979. Did you know that, Kevin?
Yeah, so I know what I'll say. I know a lot more about Israel's founding, but we'll stick with the Nazis killed Jews, and that we'll go with that for now. And
Yada, yada, yada.
It was a Jimmy Carter thing. You know, Jimmy Carter, everyone used to, when we were younger, he was the worst president we ever had. But Jimmy Carter was the president when they made a peace deal. The Egyptian president was assassinated a couple years after this. That's how popular I know the peace deal was with some. But so, yeah, I'm going to probably slip into saying we a few times as a Jew when I talk about Israel. But Israel had peace with...
It's like how I say we when I talk about the Sacramento Kings or something.
Exactly, exactly. It's your team. It's a sports thing. I'm not, I'm an American, but I kind of refer, you know. So, and then Israel has peace with Jordan more recently when we were in high school in the 90s. And I don't know which piece, like, I don't know, like, I know Israelis can travel to Egypt, I guess. I don't know the details of, like, what this really means other than Israel gave back the Sinai to Egypt. Egypt serves as kind of like a neutral party in some negotiations. I know that, but I don't really know, like, I assume, you know, I do know, like, that Egyptians probably don't love Israelis.
All right, let's bring Muhammad in. I think we need to enough talking.
Yeah. So let's, and UAE, I don't know. Do you know, the last thing is, do you know anything about the UAE?
Oh, what do I know about the United Arab Emirates? Yes, I do know very quickly. I know that they have the World Cup coming up soon, because it's a big punchline. Do they not have the World Cup? Muhammad shaking his head.
Matumbo finger.
I thought that they had this.
I thought so too. Like, they had all these, like, Filipino workers dying there. Wasn't that the UAE? Or was that?
Yeah.
I always mix them up, though. I mix up Dubai and Doha. That's my whole thing. I'm always mixing them up. I think Doha maybe is the one.
Right. Well, then I don't know anything if I didn't know that. All right, let's bring Muhammad in. Okay. He's laughing. Bring him in.
Muhammad,
what did we get right? Unmute yourself, sir.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the show. Well,
hey.
Yeah, welcome.
Have you ever had an intro like that on a podcast?
No, this is awesome. Welcome. Also, this is Yara.
Your dog, for those who are watching on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I forgot this is a podcast. I thought we were just chatting.
What does Yara think about the Middle East peace deal?
Yara never barks, and she just barked when Michael said that the World Cup is going to be in Dubai. She was like, what the fuck?
Okay.
Well, that was Turner who said that, but yes, I probably agreed with him.
Oh,
it's not
going to
be in Dubai. It's going to be in Doha?
Yeah, it's going to be in Doha.
Which I just should say, last thing I'll say is that my Tribeca Film Festival I used to work, they used to do one in Doha every year, like a film festival. Oh, yeah. And I think I thought that was the UAE too, all these years. We're pretty ignorant over here.
I mean,
so how did we do, man?
Kind of look similar. Yeah, you guys, you got some basic information, right? Like the year where the Egypt treaty happened was right. So good job there for two white guys. Michael, knowing about the Egyptian president getting assassinated, cookie for you.
Cookie, there you go.
Yeah.
It's that guy.
Yeah, I think everything else you guys did not get right. So, yeah.
So what do you think? Did you know that Egypt had a peace deal with Israel?
Yeah, I did. I did, because the president said that got assassinated pretty much for it. So that was something that we kind of learned. Sadat, yeah. Which I know sounds very close to Saddam, but this Sadat is actually a last name. Saddam is a first name. But, you know, they're both dead. That's
and
something we have in common.
They are both dead, yes. And they both believed in peace? Wait, no.
Maybe.
Muhammad, how did they teach that to you as a kid? So they taught you that he made a peace deal with Israel. He got killed. Was this seen as a good thing that he got killed or a bad thing?
Bad thing. Like every president that existed in Egypt, except for Morsi from the Muslim Brotherhood, is considered a hero for whatever reason. Like everything they did was great. Yeah.
Right.
So even Mubarak, who stayed there for 30 years, basically fucked up the country. Yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but you can leave it later.
You can swear.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So yeah, all of these guys are just considered good. And then the Muslim Brotherhood guy is like, yeah, no, not that guy.
And so Muhammad, what do you think with this peace deal now? Or is it even called a peace deal? What are we calling it?
I think it's called a treaty.
A treaty.
Yeah, I'm trying to translate from Arabic. So I think it's called a treaty. It's not really officially called a peace deal. It's called rekindling your relationship or something like that.
Like a normalization.
Normalization. That's probably. Yeah.
Where they let the citizens from each country travel.
Yeah.
Because you used to not be allowed if you have an Israeli.
Yeah, so actually,
one
fun fact, the plane that flew today, the Israeli Airlines plane that flew today, flew through the Saudi airspace, that was never allowed before today.
Right.
So Saudi is actually, for an Israeli plane to fly through the Saudi airspace, especially because there is Mecca there, which is like the holiest place for Muslims. So that's also like, that's an indicator of like Saudi's also like totally on board with the deal. And they're gonna get to that eventually, which will obviously be a big deal because Saudi's is Saudi Arabia's. It's Mecca, literally the Mecca for Muslims.
When you say they're gonna get to it, you mean that you think that Saudi Arabia will also normalize relations?
Oh, 1,000%. It's gonna happen for sure. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. There's like a there are countries that are sort of in the Saudi orbit, would be like, which ones would those be? UAE,
probably Kuwait and Bahrain, I would say. Yeah, not Qatar.
No. Oh. So no film festivals for me.
No. Maybe the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
So you think that all of these, so I guess the first question is, does this feel like a one-off thing or it feels like this is dominoes are falling in a bunch of countries?
Yeah, that's right. That's the second one. It's dominoes falling in a bunch of countries that are going to follow after that. I mean, the whole thing is kind of set in stone years ago, by the way. Like, this is just like the Saudis and the Israelis have been talking for years, but like kind of like not officially.
Quiet.
Yeah, quietly. Yeah, exactly.
Like they've been having like an affair where they can't do things in public.
Yeah, or, yeah. And then like,
they don't get... Yeah.
Yeah, and then I like to think about it that the UAE is the one that like set the Facebook relationship status to "we're together," but Saudi is still
in
like
relationship.
Yeah, in a relationship, and then Saudi is still like it's complicated. So
when you say it's been happening for a long time, roughly how long has this been? You think in the works?
Maybe 10 years. I think around Arab Spring time actually, because the Arab Spring was, if it succeeded everywhere for the countries around Israel, that would have been. They would have put it in a pretty bad position, because that's the thing. The Arab Spring reflected what the people want, not what the government want. And what the people want is the liberation of Palestine. And at this point of the conversation, I have to say that I'm saying what I think people want, not my personal opinions, because eventually I don't want to lose my career.
Right.
So
right.
Those are not my personal opinions.
Right. No, you're our analyst. Let's get that disclaimer out of the way.
Well, wait. Let me ask, Mohammed, how would that hurt your career to say?
I mean, I know by the end of the recording is I'm going to piss off everybody. So it doesn't even matter anymore. But that was also kind of a joke about how Jews run the entertainment business. So there's that.
Thank you.
There you go.
But I wasn't sure. That's what I assumed you were saying, but yeah. I wasn't sure if there's. I know so little about this whole topic that you have to spell stuff out for me. I don't know if what I'm missing and what I'm not missing.
Well, no, he makes a point. I think it's that Israel and we, you know, Israel like is a democracy and likes to brag about it, but there is one flaw in that, like, you don't really want the neighbors to become democracies right now. Maybe down the future, but because right now they would, they would be against. They would. It would be the dictators in charge of some of these countries. Are much more likely to make peace with Israel.
Absolutely, because the dictators are the dictators are trying to protect their own seats, and they're trying to not leave the dictatorship because they're making fuck you money, and they're stealing their own people's money. So it's in their interest to stay in their positions, and to do that, they have to maintain peace with Israel, because otherwise, the U.S. is gonna come in as like, all right, you're kind of going out of line, so get the fuck out. And that's what happened in the case of that.
Wait, are you trying to tell me?
Yeah.
Are you trying to tell me that the United States supports dictators?
yeah, shocker. I know. I haven't heard that one before.
So what?
Well, and the UAE, though, is in a difference, because like with a lot of these dictatorships we're talking about or leader, they sort of one of the reasons that I've always like there was a lot of wars with Israel over the years from the time of 1948 until 72, 73, but a lot of it to me always seems like, well, the dictators at the time were probably like, it's a good distraction too.
Yeah.
Let's have a war. So it's sort of like ironic now that it's turned where it's in the dictator's favor to now.
Absolutely.
Make peace.
You're 100%
right. It used
to
be in their favor to make the people kind of hate it. This is our enemy. Don't get mad at us.
Yeah.
Hate Israel. All this education.
And there's obviously the I don't know what's the right word for it, the sect aspect of it, because from the UAE and the Saudi point of view, they're trying to push the Iranian influence back.
Yeah.
So there is also
okay,
that.
Let's get to that.
Yeah.
That's I don't want to skip too far ahead, but When did that do the thing you guys are talking about now, this idea that it used to be fashionable, it used to be good, beneficial to blame Israel, and that somewhere along the line, it became beneficial to partner with Israel. How did that shift happen? Were you guys the first ones to shift that way when the
Egypt
1979?
Yeah, yes. Kind of.
In 79, yeah. Egypt makes a peace deal with Israel.
Yeah.
And this is where, this is a lot of why we wanted to talk to you about this specific thing, because you lived in a country growing up
yeah.
that technically had a peace deal with Israel.
Yeah.
But did it seem that way in the country?
No, because I'm 31 now. Until I was in high school, which is about 10 years ago, no, not 10 years, 12 years ago, whatever. Until then, we would protest every time there is a Gaza war. As kids, we would go out on the street, and that was totally okay. The police would not harass us. It was kind of like accepted in a way that we would protest like the massacres that are happening to the Palestinians there and all of that. And then suddenly, that's frowned upon in the last 10 years. So something has shifted. Something changed when the government made it clear for the people that this are just our friends now. And the Palestinians are the problem.
Okay.
And did Israelis did that, travel? Oh, sorry.
Change? I want to keep going on this for a second. Mm. Did that mindset, you said the government kind of pushed it.
Yeah.
Did that work? Did the people's mindset also change?
It kind of worked, which is very upsetting. Not because I'm on one team or another. It's the fact that people are so easily brainwashed is the bigger problem here. It's like, oh, no. The thing that you guys always believed in, it's the opposite. And the people were like, okay. But I have to say, for the average person, it didn't really work. But there's a lot of people who are very educated, very smart, who suddenly go, oh, no. Palestine, they're a bunch of terrorists. Fuck them. And you're like, what about the thing that you believed in for the last 50 years? They're like, yeah, no. So that's what I mean by upsetting. No. Yeah.
And did that change with just... with certain groups within
yeah,
the country?
Yeah, it kind of changed
like
with certain
old people
groups.
As opposed to young people or rich people, poor people?
It changed within the groups of like upper middle class, I would say, and the older
they
people.
They flipped.
Yeah, they flipped.
And maybe is that because was it seen as economically beneficial to them?
Because it's in their interest to keep the ties with our government, like to keep the, So whatever the government narrative is, they will follow. Because if they fall out of the government's favor, then they're fucked.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. And then with that in mind, do you see any parallels with what that might happen in the future with the United Arab Emirates? Or does this not relate at all?
It's not related at all. Egypt is the most populated Arab country. It's over 100 million people. United Arab Emirates is like whatever, fucking 3 million people, and half of them are immigrants. Not like migrant workers, not even immigrants. Like, for example, my brother lives there. He has lived there for the last 10 years. He can't get a permanent residence. He can't get not just a permanent residence. He cannot ever be a citizen. So, and a lot of the citizens, not obviously all of them, but a big percentage of the citizens are very rich and kind of tied to the royal family some way or another. So whatever the politics is going to be in the country is going to affect a lot of the local population. And they're just going to follow it. They might think or feel differently, but it's not going to be an issue.
And we should say we initially thought we might be able to get a comedian from the United Emirates to talk about this.
Right.
And it proves to be very difficult.
Right.
And if you're listening out there and want to do a follow-up with us, call in sometime.
Call in show. Yeah, because that's interesting. So there's only 3 million people, because I don't know if we've talked about the opening, but like my image of the UAE is kind of like there's these rich, like super modern city, but like, I don't know what the rest of the country's even like, as far as like, so.
I mean, I go there every year.
Yeah, your brother's there.
Yeah, I go there. Neither of us want to go back to Egypt. So we just pay for our parents to fly to Dubai and we all meet there. That's the last trip
the
I
record,
had before the lockdown in Hong Kong.
For the record, it's 10 million people, but the point stands. It's a small country.
Yeah.
And you, as you say, it's 10 million people, but a lot of those aren't even from, they're like almost expats.
Dude, look, actually, one of us should Google what is the, like, how many of them are actual Emirati natives.
So it's probably
less than half.
Okay, so
so a lot of finance things and people who just are there for like oil and
So it's oil money, and now obviously they're kind of switching towards like tech and tourism and things like that. But like Emirates was not a country until like what, the 1970s.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking about, is that, you know, the all these other Arab, the big Arab countries that, you know, have had all these wars with Israel, and there's, so there's more, you know, like scars in the brain. Like UAE was like a country that formed when did they even come country, and they've never had any direct conflicts.
Yeah,
it's basically kind of a different, basically swaying the hearts and minds of someone living in the UAE is probably not that difficult, because there's not much I'm putting words in your mouth, but because there's not much ties to it, there's not many roots,
right?
And so really, it's a place. Is it a place you go to make money, and as long as whatever decisions happen that help you make more money, you're cool with it?
Yeah, as a foreigner, that's the game you play. For the locals, I can't really speak for them. I don't really know how they feel, and I don't know many of them. But I would safely assume that they're just going along with the government narrative because it's easier.
Yeah.
But they're also, it's also interesting because they're part of the Gulf, like the Gulf, obviously, like area, which is traditionally more religious than the rest of the Middle East. Which also makes them, if they are more religious, they might be feel a little emotional about the Palestinian cause. But again, if you go against the government narrative, you might get in too much trouble. So they're like, all right.
And I think we mentioned Iran earlier, but just like, do people there feel like a sense of like Iran is an enemy that they need to be worried about?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think people have always felt weird about Iran, even though it's another Arabic country, another Muslim country. Yeah. But the whole Shia Sunni thing has been a problem for forever. So again, it depends. I will explain, but as much as I know, and then I will make up some stuff, because that's mostly
what we encourage here.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, I'm going to make up. I'd rather you make up stuff than me. So,
yeah,
Mohammed, you realize the whole point of this podcast is to arm our listeners with a surface level amount of information.
We want them blowharding away.
Yeah. Parties. So the next time they're at a party or a business meeting, they can say, "Oh, I know about that."
Yeah.
Emirates has 3 million people.
They're doing a company trip. They're going to go to Dubai. And they say, place 3 million people. Exactly.
And we encourage our listeners, by the way, we encourage our listeners to say Mohammed Magdi, don't say I heard him on a podcast. Say my friend is this comedian and he's from there. And he told me this, say it. Yeah. You start this sentence by saying, I was listening to a podcast, and that's like a real brag in the United States.
Oh yeah. It's a real, is it? Oh my God. You guys, that's depressing.
It used to be I was reading the newspaper, but no one even pretends to do that anymore.
Right.
So now it's I was listening to the podcast. So keep going. Anyway, continue about the question is related to Iran. Shiite Sunni. Is Iran powerful? Is this a play almost like you have to now pick in the airport, Iran or Israel, U.S.?
Yes.
Saudi way.
Yeah, there is basically two teams, pretty much. So there is, on the bigger scale of things, and again, a lot of this information is made up. So there is...
Nah, keep it going.
So I was saying there is two teams, pretty much. So there's Iran, which, by the way, is called Iran, not Iran. Let's move on.
Iran chic.
I remember that from George Bush when he goes like Iran. I'm like, Iran where? That's not the country. So one there's the Iran, Qatar, Russia. Obviously, if it's the US is on one side, the Russia is going to be on the other side. So there's Russia, Iran, Qatar for whatever reason. Turkey, that's all one team. And sometimes China, depends on their mood, I guess. And then on the other side, there is the U.S., Israel, and pretty much the rest of the Arab countries. So that's what's happening now.
Yeah.
U.S., Israel. When you say the rest of the Arab countries, here's, I guess, where I, since 1979, has that meant Egypt? Or is that more?
It has meant Egypt, yeah. But again, it depends if you're talking about Egypt from an official standpoint or from a popular standpoint.
Understand. From the government's perspective, yes. It's meant Egypt, Iran. So it's meant Israel, Egypt, and then somewhere along the way, Jordan.
Jordan for sure.
Jordan joined in.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention Hezbollah and Hamas, obviously, and Palestine on the first team.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Goes without saying.
Yeah, it goes without saying. Exactly. The classics.
And then now. And then,
don't try to tell us anything about Lebanon. Last week, we're experts now. So.
Oh, we had a guest. And then now we have the UAE joining this coalition of the willing, as we will call them.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, and Syria is on the Iran team, in case the Iran team.
I think Syria is on its own team. It's just fucked.
Right. Right. But Egypt, we were reading, they have a relationship with the UAE. Like,
there's a normal relationship. Actually, in fact, the UAE government and the Saudi government are huge supporters of the current Egyptian regime because they didn't want the Muslim Brotherhood to be in charge of the country, of the most populated, most popular country in the Middle East, because the Muslim Brotherhood have some weird ties with Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas and all of that, even though the Muslim Brotherhood are traditionally Sunni and like hate Shia. But for some reason, it's fucking complicated.
So complicated.
Yeah.
So is there any, by the way, can you imagine if we were run by a group called the Christian Brotherhood? If that was our president, or like the Mormon Brotherhood. He was elected by the Mormon Brotherhood.
The Christian Brotherhood sounds like a musical.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. The Democrats, the Republicans, and the Christian Brotherhood are three political parties. It's wild. So could this now that UAE, this looks like, you guys had a good setup over there in Egypt. You had Egypt and then you had United States and Israel. Yeah. So it was just the three, it was a cozy group, and maybe Jordan a little bit. Now that the UAE's jumped in, could this in any way be bad for Egypt that they're not the only ones?
No, not really. Egypt's position has weakened too much over the last 30 years. So they used to be kind of like the opinion leaders. And now what's happening is that the Gulf countries, Saudi Arabia and UAE, are taking that role from Egypt. So Egypt really has no say
anymore.
It's
already happened.
Yeah. We don't have any say in what goes on. We're just basically like a dog, or just kind of like puppies just following around.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But you still, actually, I mean, we should say that.
Yeah, her name is Yara means Egypt in Arabic.
I should say, for the people listening on audio, I laughed because Muhammad held up his dog when he said dog. I wasn't laughing at their plight.
I told you, I promised you to piss off everybody by the end of the podcast.
This is good.
I mean, as part of the deal, the U.S. broker with Egypt, though, the U.S. gives Egypt money, right?
Oh, yeah. We get, I think we get the second highest aid money from the U.S. after Israel in the world.
Right. That's part of the deal.
Really? Yep.
That was part of the deal.
Yeah,
so like, as long as you're still getting the money, I guess, though.
That's the whole thing. Though, we don't get any of it, too. It's not like me personally, but like the people don't get any of it. It just goes.
That's what I was going
to
ask.
It goes straight
to the
army.
Which
is also a secret budget. It's not allowed. It's not a public record. And every like 10 years, we have the same bullshit where someone in the parliament, which is all pro-government, someone would just feel brave one day. It was like, hey, can we discuss the military budget? And then he would just disappear. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, jeez. And he's like, I want to commit suicide. Exactly. So I'm going to say.
But it's always funny because everyone's just like, dude, haven't you learned from the last 50 guys who tried to do that?
Yeah, he's a real, he's like, well, what, it can't happen to me. Yeah. It's like, plane's not going to crash again.
He's just he's some guy.
Top flight optimist.
Yeah.
He's got 5 kids. He hates his wife. Yeah. He's like, I got to get out of this somehow. Yeah, Might as well go down with dignity.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So I don't think the U.S. is giving, it's a different kind of deal. Like, we're not giving the UAE tons of money as part of this, or are we?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. Not officially. Not that I know of, anyway, because what we get is military aid. It's not even just like money. It's money that's supposed to go to the army to make sure that Egypt is protecting Israel.
Right. Yeah. They're not from their, and also because Israel's getting money, so it's like a balance.
Yeah. It's like the U.S. is basically like your dad, and Egypt and Israel are like the brothers who kind of hate each other. So the U.S. is just keeping them quiet. It's like, hey, he's
giving
them
equal money, so you don't complain. Yeah, exactly. You give you $2 billion. Yeah. Give you...
That's right.
So that's. We could just pay every country in the Middle East and maybe to just do a peace plan.
I think you can afford it if you stop spending money on fucking conventions that don't make any sense.
Hey, did you see the fireworks they had at the Biden one?
We did.
Those are great. Those aren't cheap.
Dude, how funny was that lady in the beginning?
Which convention are we talking about?
There was a lady who just like gave a speech, but there's like nobody. And I don't even remember what she said, because there's no audience, right? Or was there an audience?
Yeah, it's no, there's no audience. It's virtual.
Right.
A lot of
virtual
speeches.
You mean Biden's or Trump's?
No, Trump's.
Oh, you're talking about Kimberly Guilfoyle? Oh,
that's her. That's her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend.
Oh, is that
her? She's our future first lady, let's be honest.
Oh my God.
Show some respect.
I will show some respect, because eventually I will wanna join you guys. So I'm gonna play nice.
There you go. She was also previously married to the governor of California, who's a Democrat on the other side.
Is that Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, Gavin Newsom. He's the current,
current governor.
Oh, okay.
But she's probably, and there's a chance she slept with Schwarzenegger. Anyway.
I mean, any politicians in play for her. Muhammad, what's the like hierarchy of Arab world countries, should say, meaning like who's the most powerful, who's the least powerful, who do you look up to, who do you look down on? You know, every region has this. I'm very curious.
Popularity wise,
power wise, you know, if you're in Asia, you're like, okay, Japan and China are the big guns,
right? Yeah.
Below that, you got Vietnam, Cambodia is way down there. You know,
yeah, and then this type of thing. And then Myanmar, no one gives a fuck about them. Yeah, I get it.
Sure.
Yeah. So in the Middle East, Egypt is the biggest one, because we're kind of like the Hollywood of the Middle East. So everyone in the Middle
East. Isn't that convenient?
Yeah, I know.
He's from Egypt and he says it. Okay, so it is you guys.
Everyone in the Middle East grows up watching our movies. And so actually, so obviously there are different dialects, right? And everyone understands the Egyptian dialect because they all grow up watching our pop culture, our movies, our songs, all of that.
Egyptian Hollywood.
Egyptian Hollywood, basically. Yeah. So, but then what's funny is I have actually a chunk in my act about that. It's like everyone kind of hates the Middle East around the world, but no one hates the Middle East more than the Middle East. We all hate each other. It's hilarious. Dude, if you speak to an Egyptian, he's going to shit on Libyans and he's going to say racist things about Sudanese people. And then you go, and then he's going to also shit on all the Gulf, because they're like, oh, rich fucks who have oil. And you go to the Gulf and they look at us as like cheap hookers who go work for them. And then all of us hate on the Lebanese and the Jordanians because they sold the Arab cause or whatever. And they also think they're better than us because they have lighter skin and they speak French. And everyone in this whole region shits on the West, which is Morocco and Algeria and Tunisia, because they're all like think they're better than us because they're all actual French-speaking countries. It's hilarious.
I still don't know who likes the French.
Do they know that French doesn't matter?
Yeah. What year do they think this is?
Do they still even teach French in school?
Yeah, dude.
They gave that up.
I went to Tunisia like 10 years ago, and their Arabic dialect is so strong. I speak French. So their Arabic dialect is so strong that I switched to French on like my first day. I'm like, this is bullshit. Because everyone in the country speaks French.
Yeah. That part of the Algeria, French. Yeah. And who dislikes Israel the most among all these countries?
Dislikes?
Is there an order there?
I'm gonna go in a wild guess and say the Palestinians.
Oh, wait, wrong. I was counting of all the big countries you were giving me.
Kaplan's like, of all the real countries.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it does. Yeah. Well, do you think to switch that around, I guess, do you think, like, is there any, like, has the mood over time, like, gotten better or worse? To get towards peace, like, do you think, like, a real peace, not a cold peace?
Yeah.
Because Israel and Egypt have peace, but you're saying it's not like people like each other. They're just forced to like each other.
Yeah, kind of.
So is it improving through younger generations?
I think,
don't care as much.
I think
about,
so. I mean, it depends also. There are younger generations like myself who are very, very open-minded and open for a dialogue like this. And like, all right, let's discover the possibilities and whatever. But I also know young, smart people who are not open to a discussion like this. And when you listen to them, you're like, well, that kind of also makes sense, because they might have a relative in Palestine when they fucking died with a roof over their head, like blown over their head. And you're like, how can you blame them? You know?
Yeah.
Right.
And then you obviously like to balance it out. And there is obviously, on the Israeli side, it's exactly the same. I can talk to you and you're like, well, my family died with a Hamas rocket. And it's just a whole fucking cycle of bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, there was that. Did you see that? There was that kid this week. There's that rap song from that like 11-year-old kid in the Gaza Strip.
No.
And then he had to apologize. It was like went viral. He did some thing and then he had to he basically just said he'd like to have peace. And then everyone got mad at him. So he had to apologize. His parents were like, he doesn't mean that. Like, his parents had issued an apology because people were threatening an 11-year-old because he said he'd love to see peace with Israel, but he's just an 11-year-old. I can't. Yeah. So, one day, he like, he's just 11. He just means peace in general is what they said.
By the way, I got news for you. He's going to be the next one assassinated after that Egyptian president.
They'll wait till he's like a little older. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, that's the whole thing. Yeah, but also, like, there are a few figures. There is a guy who is, I think, is quite famous online on social media. His name is Nas Daily. I don't know if you guys heard of that guy. So he's like an Arab. Yeah. He's an Arab Israeli guy. Like he's Israeli, but originally Palestinian, whatever. He travels around the world. He makes videos, but he has this like cute message of like, oh, look, we're all cool and we live in peace. But it's extremely politicized because he also has lived in Israel all of his life, even though he's ethnically Palestinian. And you're like, well, you have no idea. You've never lived in Palestine in your life. You probably have never been there. And just because you are like Arab, it doesn't mean that you represent them.
He's an asset.
Yeah. Right.
Well, isn't there a female singer who actually converted? I remember reading, there's like an Israeli Arab citizen who's Palestinian, obviously, but who's like a music star. And then she like converted to Judaism. I was reading about this one.
Are you even allowed to convert?
Actually a genius. You're allowed. I mean, anybody, but it's a great, it's almost like a great commercial movie.
Right.
So you can't take anybody in these situations seriously on either side because you're playing to a side whenever you do these things.
Yeah.
So. Good for you.
How to alienate the entire Middle East and get into Hollywood.
Yeah, well, you're telling me Egypt Hollywood is huge. I've never sold a screenplay in America. Maybe exactly. I'll convert, come to Egyptian Hollywood. I got some screenplays. If you could punch up the translate a little, punch up some of my Jewish references might not make sense.
Right.
Might not translate well.
Yeah,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There you go.
Yeah, that's also my move. Whenever my career inevitably tanks, I'm just going to convert as well.
Become a Jew.
Yeah, become a Jew. Why not?
Hey, we do run Hollywood. We don't anymore, though, by the way. We used to, but not
who runs it right now?
Am I allowed to say? Scientologists? I don't know.
You know,
Jews don't run the Jews do not run Hollywood, but if you say they do, they'll kill you and kick you out of Hollywood.
That's the irony. That's the irony of then if you get fired or canceled for saying it, then it's like, well, we run it because we did that, but you just can't say anything bad to anybody.
So here's how little I know about this whole thing. I went to a Passover in Beijing like 7 or 8 years ago, and I didn't know until I got to the Passover that it's celebrating Jews leaving Egypt.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you're kind of the enemy there.
I was extremely uncomfortable because I also was allowed to bring a couple of friends and I happened to bring 3 German guys. So it was me and 3 Germans.
You brought some Germans to a Passover?
I brought Germans to a Passover. And then you know how like they pass around the book and you drink like a sip of whatever. And you read. And I'm reading the...
We drink wine, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You give me halal wine, I guess. So
it symbolizes the blood of Egyptians.
Yeah, they do that thing where we dip our hands in the wine. Did you do that thing?
Yeah, we did.
For the plagues?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we killed all your firstborn kids. Sorry about that. He's our God. You know, that's how he works.
We got it.
We sent you a lot of frogs. You still have tons of frogs there.
Yeah, sure, what the hell was going on with the frogs? Tell me.
We got locusts.
Is that
darkness?
Are they like what sticky? Like what? Like how do you rain frogs? Right. And what do they do?
I don't know. It was that movie Magnolia. They tried it again there, but yeah, the locusts. We sent and then we had to escalate things. You didn't listen. Yeah. Your pharaoh didn't listen, so we had to just kill all the first. Had to kill all the firstborn kids.
You didn't listen. I love he's like looking at me like I wasn't there.
Yeah, you didn't. I mean, you know,
Gablin's like
Moses, Moses told you, let my people go. That's what
Gablin. These are the same arguments of like a spousal abuser.
Yeah.
Also,
is that what you did? Yeah.
As per the Quran, I think Moses spoke Arabic. I'm not sure if that's true.
He probably he spoke Aramaic was the big language back then. I think. Is that the one or I don't know?
Maybe.
Muhammad, what was the, cause you did the Comedy Central Arabia. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. It was in Dubai.
And And it was a TV show, like a stand-up show in Dubai?
Yeah. So basically what happened is that Comedy Central commissioned a network in Dubai called OSN, which is one of the biggest networks, like private networks in the region, to basically have Comedy Central Arabia. Same like here in Asia, Comedy Central Asia, right? Where Andy did his special. So they, yeah. And then that company commissioned the main promoter, which actually is the guy I was putting you in touch with, to produce the stand-up show. And then they flew a bunch of Middle Eastern comedians from, I was the only one who was from the Middle East, but not living in the Middle East. So it's a bunch of local comedians and they're from all over the region, like, you know, Saudi and Egypt and Lebanon, whatever. And they shot, I think, three seasons.
Three seasons?
Yeah. So it's basically
it's a stand-up show.
Yeah, it's a stand-up show. Yeah. I've seen myself. So I've never haven't seen it because I live here and I don't have access to OSN and they never sent me my video. So I was flying from Dubai to here to Hong Kong early this year and I saw myself on the screen on flight on Emirates Airlines.
Nice.
And they had sold the content to Emirates Airlines and I never got any fucking money for that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
they're not going to pay.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? So what was the other? I'm curious. First of all, were there restrictions on what you could talk about when you?
Actually, I was, to their credit, I was pleasantly surprised because I haven't lived in the Middle East for a long time. So I had to ask the producer, one of the producers, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to send you kind of like hint of what I talk about because my act is all political and dirty. And I sent her a bunch of stuff and she's like, yep, that's fine. I'm like, really? She was, yeah. And it all passed.
Well, what like political was it? Like Asia, China political, America political, Middle East political?
It's Middle East political. They wouldn't give a fuck if I talk about China or the US. They would probably encourage
that's
it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. No, it was Middle East political. So I talk, you know, I have a bit in my act when I talk about, you know, Chinese football team losing to Syria. In the World Cup qualifications, like how bad the Chinese the football team was that they lost to Syria when half of them died on a raft on the way.
Oh, so and they let it go.
Yeah, they let it go.
Well, my sense is, if I don't know if we said this earlier, but like the Dubai is kind of like a Vegas-y kind of scene, right?
Kind of. But there's also lines there. So that's the thing because I didn't say anything.
I was thinking the crowds would be right. No.
Yeah, because I didn't say anything about their red lines, then I'm okay. That's the thing.
Right. As long as you didn't insult them, they're okay with laughing at the other people. That's what I was trying to get at. Yeah. Like, they're like,
what were their red lines?
I mean, they didn't tell me, but I know there are.
I see. What did the other comedians talk about? Like, what's the general material?
Like it's
political,
a lot of,
social, personal.
It's social and personal. It's not political. It's also Arabic is rich with puns, which is really fucking annoying.
Oh God, yeah. That sucks.
So there's a lot of puns. Yeah. I mean, the crowd loves it, but I was watching it. I'm like, oh no.
I mean, yeah, the crowd loves a lot of things. The crowd loves watermelon smashing too, but we're not all doing it, right?
Hey, don't insult Drew Freilich.
We should have Drew's going to have some issues, I'm sure, with me this episode.
You know, when you go like in Singapore, Malaysia, for instance, if you're in Singapore, all the jokes are about how stupid Malaysians are. If you're in Malaysia, all the jokes are about how stupid Singaporeans are. If you're not from either one of those, you can't understand 90% of the material. Is it similar as in the Middle East? Are they talking about the other countries?
It used to be like that. It's kind of like almost like the parallel PC movement. Where like before, like 10 years ago, you can go on national television and make racist jokes about like Sudanese people. But now we're progressed.
Now it's frowned upon?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that, see?
Now we can make fun of only refugees and Palestinians.
Oh. What about like, can you do transgender? Transgender
jokes? Yeah. That's the other thing. Actually, that's a great point. I did, last time I was in Egypt 3 years ago, I did a show there and almost every joke was a homophobic joke. And for me,
it was a theme night.
Yeah, it was a theme night. And for me, because I've lived abroad for so long, I have progressed past that like a million years ago. But they're still there, and the crowd is loving it. And I go up there, and I don't know what the fuck I talked about. Maybe I mentioned like someone transgender, and people just walked out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It does beg the question, though. Have you been in places like the UAE? You're getting away with. I'm sure you can make Jew jokes, no? Because there's no Jews in the audience.
You can.
Now,
yeah, you can.
Israelis are now. So now the Israelis are coming. People are gonna have to clean up their act there a little bit.
No, what will happen is that you will give the Arab audience rocks, and you'll give the Israelis let them pass through with their guns. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just gonna recreate the situation there.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, it's tips. Well, do you think Israeli comics are going to ever be able to get over there?
Eventually. How long? Eventually, yeah, it will open up because the UAE is the biggest market for stand-up in the Middle East anyway because of their money. Oh. But the Saudi Arabia is opening up big time too. So I think it's going to catch up. I don't know about the Israeli comics just because. Is there any popular Israeli comic anyway?
I don't even know.
Kaplan and I, before we recorded with you, were trying to think of some, and we couldn't name a single one.
My thing is Israelis, yeah, because Jews in America, people listening know, we have a lot of comedians here.
Right.
Because we're very self-deprecating people. Yeah. The Israelis are a lot of machismo, a lot of false bravado. I can't see them being comedians very well, but there must be someone. I'll have to.
There has to be like an English, obviously. I think it's far-fetched to say that there would be an Israeli comedian performing in Hebrew in the Middle East. Because there's no audience for it.
He'd have to perform in Arabic
or English. Emirates has a big market for English stand-up. Maybe in English.
Yeah.
In the U.S., who is it? Sam Morrell is Jewish, isn't he?
He's Jewish.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's
a lot of Jews.
Like 90% of the comedians are Jewish.
We just outed Sam Morrell.
Sam Morrell's Jewish. Yeah. I mean, David Tell's Jewish.
Yeah.
Literally everyone's Jewish.
I mean, I have friends in Israel who are getting their Facebook native advertising. They're already getting ads for real estate in the UAE. I'm sure comedians are maybe I can go there. So it's going to happen.
Yep.
Elon Gold to go first, Kaplan.
Elon Gold, he's American, but he's pretty Jewish. So yeah. If they can stomach him, then that's gonna we pieces on its way.
Who's the most Jewish if he comedian comes back, in the scene there?
Him, I would say.
Really?
If he comes back alive,
Modi.
I don't know if anyone knows that guy as much as Elon. Yeah, Elon's a bigger platform. If Elon goes and he comes back alive, then everyone else, then Sam Morrill can go next.
Jared Kushner.
Nice.
That's who we sent. That's what I was like. I don't know if it's gonna work out. They sent Kushner, but whatever.
Yeah.
So. That's it, Muhammad. Thank you for doing the podcast.
Yeah, man, it was a pleasure. I'm very happy to feed white people a bunch of misleading information about where I come from.
Oh wait, can I ask you one question before we go about where you come from? One last question.
It's Egypt.
About Egypt? No, I know where you come from.
I didn't understand that either. I was like, what?
No, you said where I come from. So yeah. Do you remember an ambassador from Egypt named Mohamed Bassioni?
Yes.
Do you remember this guy?
Yeah.
So he was involved. He was my dad's college roommate. This is my only Egyptian name. And he was always, he was always talking about how great he thought Jews were in America. So he's like, oh, I wish we, so he ended up getting involved in a big scandal in the 90s. It was called he harassed a belly dancer or something. So that's my only other Egyptian I knew before you. So I'm glad that we.
Glad he represented our people very well.
Yeah, he was. He had a distinguished career. He said he was not guilty. My dad says he's a great guy. So yeah. But shout out. I just want to give a. I want to remember him to go away today.
R.I.P.
Mossad Bassani passed away a few years back.
Passed away on the hands of the Mossad probably.
Oh, no. We don't spread rumors.
Oh, yeah.
Possible.
Muhammad, anyway. how can people find you?
I live on 16 Observatory Road, 5th floor, Hong Kong, Kowloon. That's how they can find me.
Send all the fan mail and hate mail there.
Yeah, send it there. You can also find me on your internet at The Other Muhammad on Instagram.
Good name.
Yeah.
The Other Muhammad.
Yeah. It's just that's The Other Muhammad. And that's the only one I use. Yeah. That's the only social media I really use is Instagram. So yeah, The Other Muhammad.
That's it, everybody. Peace in the Middle East. It's back.
Inshallah.
Listen, the 90s are back. The 90s are back.
Let's bring back the gay jokes all over the Middle East. And then we'll really.
Bring
back the gay jokes. That'll come next.
Yeah.
Thank you, Muhammad.
He's working on it.
Cheers,
Kaplan,
guys.
Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
I think it's time we get lost.
Get lost! Lost in America!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.